Tonight we're going to conclude our lesson on Psalms 91, Supernatural Protection. So this is part four. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, once more we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory. Because, Lord, you're good. You're such good, God. You're so good to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, we welcome you in all your glory. We ask, oh God, that the anointing would be on this lesson, that you would give your people, Lord, a receptive heart to receive. Give me utterance, Lord, to deliver it. And, Lord, your will be done, Lord, on this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we've been doing Psalms 91 for the past several weeks. And I'm just going to go over and read from the beginning, Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You know, the first time that I heard a teaching on Psalms 91 was here. Pastor did, he did a series on it. And I decided to memorize the whole thing. I knew like the first four verses because we sang it at home in a chorus. So I took those four and I added a line every day. When I would take my son to school, I used to make him read it. In fact, you know, I had a niece that lived with us and a friend that told me it was a psalm of protection, so I used to make her read it. And before she left for school in the morning. And you know, it's really not hard to memorize. It's a psalm that I would encourage all of you to memorize. Just take one verse every day and add a verse to it. And before you know it, you will know this. That way, if you're somewhere and you don't have a Bible with you, sometimes it's not always convenient, you can just recite it, you know? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 will fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. So this is where we're going to pick up. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, in my last teaching, I gave an example of an encounter that I had that I believe were angels, so I'm not going to go over that. If, you know, you guys want to know, if you weren't here, get the CD. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Angels are all around us. Every single day in our lives, angels are with us. We just don't recognize them. In Old Testament times, there are several examples of God using angels. They're messengers. They bring messages. And so I'm just going to take one example, because I'm determined to finish this lesson tonight. So let's look in Daniel chapter 6. And we will read from verse 13 through 22. Now, we all know the story of Daniel. Daniel, and you know, was taken into captivity. And, you know, the people there were jealous of him. And they set up a trap for him. Daniel used to pray 3 times a day. And they couldn't find anything, any fault in him. And except they said, we find it against his God. So they set up this trap, you know, how they can catch Daniel, you know, to get him in trouble. The enemy is going to be setting traps for us. He's going to be setting snares for us. That's why we have to be watchful. We have to be aware. We cannot walk around as Christians with our head buried in the sand. You know, we cannot have this attitude, well, you know, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. No. If that's the attitude that you have, you are going to fall into a snare. We have to be watchful. We have to be aware. And so they set the trap, and they drew the king into it. King didn't know what they were up to. So let's read from verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, okay, let me back up here. They set their little trap, but Daniel didn't stop praying. He just kept right on praying. And they thought, okay, we've got him. Because he prayed by his window. He didn't even hide. He took a stand. That, you know, in the time that we are living, we are going to have to take a stand for the things of God. We cannot be lukewarm Christians. We cannot be fair-weather Christians. We cannot be wishy-washy, here today, gone tomorrow. We cannot straddle the fence. You either stand for something or you're going to stand for nothing. And sad to say, too many Christians, they're wishy-washy. They don't have no backbone. They're jellyfish, you know? They run for cover. You know, I mean, I know it's tough, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes. But when you look at some Christians today, they don't have no guts. You know, it makes me mad. No, really. No, we're going to have to take a stand. At some point in time, we're going to have to take a stand. Now, I don't even know why I got up here. It's not in my notes. But, you know, as we have it good in America. Christians, even though persecution is starting, it's nowhere as bad as it is overseas. You know, people are being beheaded. They're being tortured. It's, you know, we've got it good. And those people are taking a stand. They're giving up their life. You know, because, you know, this life is temporary anyway. And, you know, we have a far better life waiting for us in glory. Amen. So Daniel didn't even bother to hide. He just went on doing exactly what he was doing, which is praying three times a day by his open window facing Jerusalem. He had some guts. So they said, we've got him. We've got him. So they ran to the king and they said, you know, they said to the king, did you not sign a decree saying that nobody should ask of, you know, a decree of anything or on any man or God except you for 30 days? And the king said, yes. And they said, well, that Daniel, he's praying. He is praying three times a day to his God. Right? So this is where we pick up in verse 14. Then when the king heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart in Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. See, the king loved Daniel, and he didn't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, you know? Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. The king had some faith in Daniel's God, didn't he? And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. He couldn't sleep. He just paced back and forth. The thing was weighing on him so badly he couldn't sleep. His sleep just disappeared from him. So early in the morning he went to the lion's den, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. Imagine how the king felt when he got an answer back. He was probably just straining his ear, you know. And then he heard it, okay, yes. Live forever, okay. And he said, live forever. My God had sent his angel and had shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence he was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Now, we all know the rest of the story. You know, they set the trap for Daniel, but they didn't know they were setting a trap for their own selves. They ended up in the lion's den. And this time, there was no angel to shut the lion's mouth. You know, the lions were good and hungry then. They were licking their chops before they fell to the bottom of the den. They were saying, food, yes, you know. They probably didn't see that much food in a long time. Imagine all those people. They had a feast on them. But here we see, Daniel said that God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. He shall give his angels charge over thee. The angels had charge over Daniel to shut the lion's mouth. I heard Jerry Savelle, and I'm quite sure it's Jerry Savelle. I was getting ready for church tonight. I was going through the whole thing in my head, and I'm thinking, is it Jerry Savelle, or is it, you know, how you listen to so many stories and then you get people mixed up. So don't quote me on this, okay, on Jerry Savelle. But this story is true. I'm sure it was him, was telling a story that he was on his way somewhere, either going or coming. I can't exactly remember, but his car broke down. And you know, sometimes, you know, when your car breaks down, it breaks down at the most inopportune moment. It either breaks down at the stoplight, you know, and everybody's honking their horn, you know, or, you know, it's just no right time for your car to break down. But anyway, this was night, and it was along a stretch of road that was highway that was really dark and stuff, and he didn't have no money, you know, back in the day, I guess he was very poor, you know. And so he didn't know what to do. And then here came this toll truck. And the truck stopped and asked him, you know, what the problem is, and he told him, and the truck said, no problem, you know, I'll help you. So the truck hook his car up and drove to this car shop, opened the door and turned on the light and, you know, pulled the car in, fixed it, did everything that needed to be done. And I think he even gassed him up, had some gas, and sent Jerry Savelle on his way. You know, he didn't have any money to pay, and the guy said, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay. So Jerry went his way. But anyway, sometime later, he wanted to go back to this shop to see the person who had helped him. And it was closed up. So he went next door, I think there was a bar or something, and he was asking the people in the bar, who is the owner of the shop? How can I get in touch with him? And the people said, that place has been closed up for years. And Jerry said, no. The owner of the shop pulled my car there and fixed it. And they just told him, you're mistaken. And Jerry said, no, I know, this is the place. And they said, no, you know, it's been out of business for a long time. Even the power was cut off. But when the guy took Jerry there, you know, the power was on, he fixed his car. That was an angel. On a more personal level, I have a friend who is she's an intercessor prayer person at Oral Roberts University. And she told me, this is what she told me. Wanda might know her, I'm not sure. But she said her and her husband were going someplace and the car broke down again and they had no money, they didn't know what to do. And this toll truck, once again, toll truck, God has got toll trucks. He's got angels to drive them.
Yes, yes.
And this toll truck came and just fixed their car. And then, you know, they thanked the guy and everything, and he left, and the car turned, took the opposite direction, you know, I guess must have been a two-way street. And she said it just drove away, and as she turned and looked, it just vanished into thin air.
Wow.
I was supposed to call her this afternoon so she can refresh my memory on the story. That was an angel.
Yes.
God has got angels, and they protect us. They help us, you know. It's not just for biblical times. They're active today. He said he will give his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They will bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Ministering spirits. They're busy looking out for God's children. You know, the world like to say, luck, you are lucky. There's no such thing as luck when it comes to the child of God. God is watching out for us.
Amen.
Those angels, you know. There's a scripture, I can't remember where it is exactly, but it says, you'd be careful how we treat people. I'm paraphrasing. Because we might be entertaining an angel and don't know it.
Right.
You know, and you don't want to be mean to your angel. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Lions, now this kind of gave me a little bit of trouble as I was preparing this lesson, but I had to do some research. Thank God for Google. You can Google some stuff and look, dig up some commentaries, you know, and things like that. And lions and adders and dragons, you know, those are all dangerous and fierce and can inflict serious harm. I don't think we have dragons walking the earth today. Thank God for that. I believe, now this is what I believe, that the psalmist was talking figuratively here. Satan is described as a serpent. He's described as a dragon. He's our adversary. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's accused, the accuser of the brethren. He's the power of darkness. There are lots of names to him. The point is, I believe, that whatever form Satan uses, how, you know, whatever weapon he chooses, whether he comes as a serpent or a snake or a dragon, you know, he's a master of disguise. It doesn't matter what form he comes. God's word says that we will tread upon the lion and the adder.
Yes. Yes.
The young lion and the dragon will trample it underfoot. We will be victorious. We will come out on top. One day we had this dog named Bear, and he was just barking up a storm. And I bent to see what he was barking at, and there was a snake. He was about this long. And in fact, he was a big, I mean, I had never seen a snake like that. And Bear was just barking at him. And he had his head up and he was wagging it like this way and that way. So I was determined, I'm going to kill that snake. So I ran, made a quick dash into the washroom. And, you know, my husband always have all kinds of That's not really my washroom. That's his storage room. He's got all this hammer and, you know, screwdrivers and tools in there. I told him the other day, I need a real washroom. You need to move your stuff out of here. But thank God he had this big, fat, you know, I think you call it a mallet or something, a mallet. It was a big, heavy tool. And so it was the first thing that I could get when I grabbed it and I ran out there and I threw it at the stair. And you know, I wasn't gonna get too close, you know. I was on the stair, you know, and I threw it at him. And you know, Snake, you know, he wriggled his way out. But I was determined. I said, you represent Satan and I'm gonna get you today. So I maneuvered my way very carefully, and I got with one eye on that snake, you know, and I grabbed hold of that hammer thing, you know, and I aimed really good. And I tell you, when I let go, I connected with that snake. I cut him in half. Yes, I was determined. Yes, you are not going nowhere today. I'm killing you. You are the devil. You represent Satan. Hallelujah. I mean, he was such a bad snake. He must have been poisonous or something. I don't know much about snakes. The time my husband came home and I told him, I killed a snake, you know. And he ran out there and he looked and he said, I'll just throw him. We had this huge ant pile. And he said, I'll just throw him there. The ants will eat him. 2 days later, he's still there. The ants will eat him. They did not want him. He even ended up running him over with the lawnmower, you know. But the point is, I don't know. See, I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. Like I was saying, the point is, whatever form of harassment Satan brings against us, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 16 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. Yeah. As God's children, we are supposed to triumph over the enemy. Yeah. If we're not triumphing over the enemy, we need to examine our lives. Mm-hmm. See what it is we're doing or not doing. Make some adjustments. Tweak some stuff. You know, when sometimes you go to the chiropractor and they make adjustments. I used to love it, this chiropractor that I had at one time, and I'd go and he'd crack my, you know, my spine and whatever he did with my neck. Whenever I walked out, I always walked out, you know, with a sense of well-being, like I can conquer anything. Whatever he did, it was good. You know, we're supposed to triumph, make the adjustments that we need. Just don't go blindly on doing the same thing and getting, you know, letting Satan beat us over the head. You know, we are children of the Most High God. We are supposed to triumph. We are supposed to rule. That's why we were created. He just stole dominion from Adam and Eve, and even, you know, and so now he is just a temporary wannabe. You know.
Amen.
Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors. God promises victory over the schemes of Satan as long as we are abiding, living in that secret place. See, it's conditional. Verse 14. Because he had set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he had known my name. Now, I decided to look up this particular verse in a few other versions. And the New International Version says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. The New Living Translation says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. The English Standard Version, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, I will protect him because he knows my name. Notice all these verses are talking about knowing his name.
Yes.
New American Standard Bible, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. We have God's word to rescue us, those of us who love and hold fast to him, those who know his name. Now, knowing his name doesn't necessarily mean, you know, okay, I know the name of Jesus, so I'll just say Jesus. You know, I know God. That's not what it really means. It is contingent that we know his name. That means that we have to have a relationship. We have to be in fellowship with him.
Right.
Anybody can call upon the name of God.
Right.
Doesn't mean that they're connected.
Right.
You know? Remember the sons of Sceva? They saw Paul was casting out demons using the name of Jesus, so they decided that they were going to do the same. Acts 19, 11 through 19. Let's see what happened. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, there are a lot of vagabonds, vagabond people walking around pretending to be Christians. These were vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? See what I mean? You just don't say in the name of Jesus, or, you know, you might get what happened would happen to them. You know, we have to know him.
Yes.
Really know him. Have that relationship, have that connection.
Amen.
You know, I went through some things in the past before I came here. It's something that led me here. And, you know, I was really hurt. I completely felt betrayed. I felt like, I remember asking the Lord, who have I been fellowshipping with? What kind of people have I been fellowshipping with? You know, I was so hurt. And for the first time in my life, I understood those people who say they go to church and TV. At first, I couldn't understand how they could do that. I understood them then. But had it not been for my relationship, my own personal relationship that I had with God, I would have been one of them. I mean, serious. I would say, forget it. You know, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I'm not going back with those people. But God had been so good to me over the years, and I just couldn't do that. That would have been a sorry excuse, you know. I knew him. I know God. Nobody can tell me that, you know, that God is not real.
Amen.
Nope. Not going to work. I know that he's real.
Yeah.
I know that he answers prayers.
Yeah.
I know that he works,
yes,
you know, in our lives.
Yeah.
I know, you know, I may not be a theologian or all that stuff, but I know what I know, and
amen,
nobody can beat it out to me. I know. They didn't know Jesus. They just saw what Paul was doing, copycats, wannabes, you know, it looked good. And they figured, oh, this, you know, we can really influence some people. So they decide, I'm going to do this. And what happened? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You see, it's not merely saying the name. This is a promise to those who have a covenant with God and is in constant fellowship with Him. If you don't have a covenant in God, then the next best thing is to have some people praying for you,
yeah,
interceding for you.
Yeah.
That's why God uses intercessors.
Yeah.
God is a God of love.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hurt people.
That's right.
He does not want people to be open target for the enemy.
Right.
So when He sees someone that's about to be devoured, He puts it on the hearts of His people, pray for so-and-so.
Yeah.
Pray,
that's
you
right.
know.
That's right.
One time I was going to pick my daughter up from school. She got out at 12 o'clock, and I would leave the house between 11:30 and 11:45. And I'm sitting at this stop sign, and all of a sudden this particular friend came. She just came to me. You know, I didn't know you were supposed to pray for someone when you feel that, you know. Anyway, I didn't pray, but I went, picked my daughter up, went to church. I think it was either that same night or the next night. And the pastor announced that this particular person had been run off the road and was hospitalized. So when I went to see her, you know, she had broken her leg. She had to have a rod put in. And I asked her, I said, "What time did your accident happen?" And she said, "I don't know, it was between 11:30 and 12 o'clock.
Wow.
The same time that she was put on my heart. See, God was looking for somebody to pray for her, to intercede for her. Her life probably depended on somebody interceding for her. Eventually, some guy was passing, and he said he was curious, he was nosy, and he went down, he thought he was, but God was actually using him. And he went and looked into the car, and much to his shock, he saw a lady in there. That was the last thing he expected to see. You know, somebody obeyed and prayed for her, and she was saved. I think they had to cut her out of that car. It was so bad. See? When God puts somebody in your heart, some person, pray. You know, you don't have to know. Just pray.
That's
pray
right.
for them.
Right.
You know? God is looking to save someone.
Amen.
You know, someone who may not be in covenant with Him. Someone who may not be connected like they should be. Or maybe they're backslid. But because God is a God of love and mercy and compassion, and He wants to save, so He's looking, He's always looking for His people. We are His hands and His feet extended here in the earth. And that's what we're supposed to do, intercede for those people so that He can dispatch angels to help them, to keep them in all their ways. Verse 15, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." God promises us a long life. We can have a long life when we're abiding in that secret place, when we're living in that secret place, when we're connected to Him. 2 Timothy Verse 4, 7 through 8. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul lived and completed the call that God had on his life. He was satisfied with his life. He had no regrets. We can be like Paul. At the end of our days, I'm hoping that the rapture will take place by then, and I wouldn't have to die, you know, and be put in a coffin. I have this thing about being put in a casket.
Yeah.
I've been telling the Lord, you know, can you just rapture me out here, you know? I don't want to be put underneath. I don't want to be in some tomb. Well, it's not so much the tomb thing that I'm, you know. I've got this thing, I mean. I don't want nobody coming and looking at me. Somebody said to me, I'm not going to name them, said to me, please make sure they put some lipstick on me. Well, if, and that's a big if, I'm not planning on going anywhere soon. But if, you know, if something happens and I have to, close casket. I want the best picture on the casket. And, you know, people can look as much as they want. I do not want nobody looking at me. Oh. But Paul said, Paul had no regrets. You know, he was satisfied. God said with long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. We can be like Paul. We can have that long life. And when it's time for us to go, we can say, like he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. A lot of Christians don't finish their course. Their lives are cut short before they even begin. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We have a crown of righteousness waiting for us, a beautiful crown. And I trust this lesson has been a blessing to you all.